Did you know that it is considered an offence not to pick up after your dog when your dog does what dogs do? Or that German shepherds are by law required to wear a muzzle if they are out in public? The regulation surrounding man's best friend may not be as strict as it should be, and we might need to have a strong look at the way we treat dogs in public. To discuss this matter, we have two dog owners with me in studio. Varying degrees of dog lover, I think, is the best way to describe you. Brenda Power, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail and the Sunday Times. Good morning to you. And Ian O'Doherty, columnist with the Irish Independent and the Irish Daily Star. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
You are both dog owners. Ian, you are the more passionate, I suspect.
As always. As always. You know, I mean,
beneath
this cold, uncaring exterior beats a very cold heart as well, but except when it comes to dogs.
There's a little part of you that likes dogs.
I was writing about this on Saturday because, I mean, a lot of people, we've been talking about dogs a lot now since the attack down in Galway a few weeks ago where the woman, Theresa McDonough, died. And it's focused attention on dogs for all the wrong reasons, but it's about time, actually, that people did begin to focus on dogs because as somebody who's a passionate dog owner, I've had dogs all my life.
What do you have?
Well, I've one now, Sam. Molly died 2 years ago, but I can't even really talk about that still. But I mean, the two of them are rescue dogs. But let's put it this way. When I left the house this morning, Sam was in my side of the bed with his head on the pillow. And he was looking at me going, OK, you can go now. And basically,
the dog was on the bed.
Oh, he sleeps in the bed, yeah.
Ah, Ian.
What? What's wrong with that?
That's a dog's not human.
You have not known contentment until it's a windy, rainy night and you're lying in bed and you're listening to a dog beside you snoring. It is the most contentful feeling in the world.
Having a human next to you snoring, would that not be as good?
Oh, God, no, I hate people who snore. They drive me mad.
So you are a firm believer that dogs should be in the bed, they should be in the house, they are a big part of your life and you should...
Well, they're family.
Yeah, they're family.
This is the thing. And it's one of the things I always find funny is that people go, oh, it's just because you don't have kids, you treat your dogs like, you know, you treat kids. It's like, no, there's a big difference between dogs and kids, and that dogs are cool and kids are a pain. So it's like, I mean, dogs aren't a replacement for kids for me. Dogs are actually by far the infinitely superior choice.
Well, Brendan, what's the hierarchy in your house? Dogs or kids? Who's higher?
I'll tell you the way it is, Jonathan. I am a dog lover in the same way that I love kids. Love my own. Not that keen on other people's. I don't want them jumping on me in public. I don't want to walk in their poo. I don't want them licking my face when I'm lying on the beach. And the same goes for dogs, really. So, I mean, we've always had a dog. And we had a dog, Molly, who died last year. And a cause of great trauma to the kids.
But to be honest,
I grew up on a farm and we always had working dogs.
Ah, well, you people are all weird.
So to me, dogs are... They're a pet, yes, but they're definitely not part of the family. Now, that said, I have a horrible feeling since we got our latest pup about 3 weeks ago, Sandy, who is a Labradaniel, half Labrador, half Spaniel, that I'm afraid she may end up, you know, becoming a part of the family.
But I'll resist that. You can see yourself crumbling already.
The resistance is weak there. Yes. Now, I'm going to declare myself as an anomaly in the room. I don't like dogs, okay? And it's not that a dog ever did anything to me. It's, for me, they are smelly, they are dirty, they poop in public, and they need an awful lot of attention that I really don't want to give them. So when I see a dog on the street, I don't like it.
I get all that. I'm like that too, I have to say. And when I see a dog in a muzzle, I think, okay, that dog should not be in public, because, you know, I have to rely on you as perhaps a not particularly careful owner to ensure that the muzzle is properly secured, to ensure that the lead is properly secured. Frankly, I do not want to have to go through that concern on a street. I hate people who are like people with kids who think their dog's antics and their dog's cheekiness or their kid's cheekiness and antics are as charming to you as they are. And they are not. And also, Jonathan, people, you know, not only is it a crime, people who let their dogs poo on the street and walk away should have their noses rubbed in it. Never mind the dog. Can I tell you, I was driving home recently and I saw a man with this huge dog stopping outside the school, and letting the dog have a massive crap on the pavement and walking off. So I pulled in as soon as I could, jumped out of the car with a roll of doggy bags, picked up the poo, and then couldn't see the man. So I had to get back in my car.
So you were left with someone else's dog poo.
In front of that all happens. The passers-by thinking, see, what a strange person.
This is the one thing we can all agree on, apart from you, Mr. Healy, you weirdo who doesn't like dogs.
I'm weirdo on many levels.
I mean, I have a whole big pocket full of pooper scoopers here. I mean, I walk around. I've become the dog equivalent of the crazy cat lady.
Do you pick them up? Other people's
pick
up
and I have done that. Oh, and I have gone over and I have...
But that's not your responsibility.
Oh, yes, if you see them do it. No,
but
if you see
the
them
thing
do
is,
it,
if I'm picking up my dog's poop and there's somebody else hasn't picked up theirs, I'll just pick it up. I mean, it's because it's as easy not to. And you see, this is the funny thing is that dog walkers are actually in many ways the big victims of people who don't clean up after themselves. Because certainly, I mean, I've walked around my area in ways that I would never ever walk if I didn't have a dog. So I've actually found myself become so much more of a walker. Whereas normally you just get a bus or a taxi into work kind of thing. And there was nothing worse than treading poop. It's absolutely disgusting.
Awful.
And as much as I want to try and keep the state away from the individual, and as much as I think we have far too many laws, and I'm very much on the libertarian kind of principle, this is one of those things. Unfortunately, we shouldn't need a law to force people to pick up after themselves, but we do. It should actually just be, like most things in life, you can avoid the hassle if you just take care of yourself, take care of your dog. And people get so obnoxious about it.
We have an extremely lackadaisical approach to dogs' ownership in this country. The idea that you have to have a licence, I would love to know how many dogs have a licence. I'd imagine it's very few. I know a lot of dogs are chipped. I know a lot of dogs aren't chipped. So if we don't enforce the licensing issue, which is in the statute books, what chance is it that we're going to enforce this?
Well, can I tell you how you enforce this? I mean, you know, a guard or whoever can stop you on the street and say, do you have a licence for that dog? What they should also be able to ask, the next question, have you got a roll of litter bags? Or have you got something with which to pick up poo? If not, then it's an on-the-spot fine. An on-the-spot fine and no arguments. Because I mean, that is the only way you enforce
that for litter.
It. No, but you see, as at the moment you have to catch them actually walking away. You shouldn't have to wait.
By and large, I actually find that women are the worst for not cleaning up after them, after their dogs. And it's something that I've become very aware of because there was one day, I mean, I worked down on Talbot Street. And I mean, there was one, again, there was the stereotypical big lad with the big dog who just let his dog just had a big poop on Talbot Street. And I went over with a pooper scooper and I mean, actually, I thought he was going to make me eat the pooper scooper by the end of it.
When he said pooper scooper, is it just your hand in a bag?
Yes. There it is. It's just, they're like small little black bin liners.
But is your hand not, would you
not
be
no,
kind
you,
of...
No, you are aware of the concept of and the process of actually using a plastic bag. You don't have to, you know, scoop it up with your hands. But you see, this is a socially kind of important issue, whatever, is that it gives dogs a really bad name. It's absolutely disgusting. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years, which seems to be a developing trend, is of people who will scoop the poop, tie the bag, and then leave
it on
the ground.
Hang it on a railing.
You know,
hang it on trees. If you
so
see the bags hanging
fecal
on trees.
Fecal landmines, you know, that basically people... And you've got like... I mean, I've seen people leave them on the bag, and it's like a Christmas tree from hell when you see a pooper scooper there. And you're going, what is wrong with... Like, the thing is, you wouldn't let your kid go to the toilet on the street when you're walking on. And see, again, this is what drives me mad about the Irish at times. We shouldn't need a law for this. And then we do have a law for it, but the law isn't enforced, which basically means people think they can get away with it.
You have to accept that a lot of dog owners are obnoxious, and they do expect that.
Are they
you
obnoxious
are
in general, or are they obnoxious as dog owners?
I was walking on a beach in Wexford last summer, and a woman walked past me with a big dog, and he made no sound. And as we walked past, he turned back and snapped and tore my t-shirt. And she just went, "Oh, you know, Fido." Now, if I got close to Fido he would not do that again.
Fido would get a funt.
You know, I mean, if your kid did that to somebody, you'd apologise. Not that they'd jump up and bite someone's t-shirt, but you know what I mean. If they spill a drink in a restaurant or whatever, you're all apologies. Most good parents are, but people with dogs, for some reason, seem to think that you are as charmed by their dog as they are, and that is not the case.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things as well is that I often find with people who think that, you know, kids will love their dog or whatever, you know, and kids are small things. Dogs look so much bigger.
Yeah, no, my kids don't like dogs. And when we're out for a walk and a dog isn't on a leash and the dog comes over, the older guy goes, yeah, okay, I can handle a dog. Two small ones have no idea. And I get really, really frightened. Like, they like dogs. They pet the dog. But the dog coming running at you will put the fear of God in you. 5316 for your text message, by the way. Una Clossy got in contact. Our Chinese Sharpei, is that a dog? Sharpei?
Yeah.
Always sleeps with us, goes everywhere with. He's a family member, not just a dog. So that goes to your point, Ian. Gerard in Dundalk raises a valid point. How could anyone love anything that licks its own bum and then goes to lick you? No thanks. says Jared. So
that is an issue, I have to say.
I've never looked at it like that, but in fact, actually, they've gone up in my estimation now. It's just it's a remarkable act of contortion. It's very, you know.
John in Dublin says, as a dog lover, I want to know, why do owners pick up their poo and then hang the bag on the tree or the railing instead of putting it in the bin, which is what you were saying, Ian. My partner and I, says a listener, were visiting Cape Clear recently. As we were walking a popular clifftop route along the island, there was a sign saying, no dogs, they will interfere with livestock. I said to my partner, I bet everyone brings the dogs here. And sure enough, a few minutes later, three big dogs came charging towards us. The lady assured us, ah, they're friendly. Don't be afraid. Even though the dogs were safe, as someone who's scared of dogs, I was so annoyed that the owner had blatantly ignored the sign and brought the dogs anyway with no leash. Dog lovers say, get over it, dogs aren't dangerous. We should be able to let them run free. My point, it's arrogant on the part of dog owners to blatantly ignore signs like this. They were put up for a reason. I mean, what is it in the psyche? What is it in the psyche of a dog owner that sees that sign and says, "Well, it's not my dogs they're talking about"?
Those kind of dog owners, you know, they're also the people who park in the handicapped spot in the supermarket and they don't care, right? I mean, and you know, the dog would just be a symptom of their general contempt for society and for people around them. But I mean, the thing is, actually, I mean, I was brought up with dogs in the sense that the first dog I got, I was told, "This is your responsibility. You clean up." You feed Jasper was the first dog I had before Sheba, and I was told that basically I had to look after Jasper was my dog, and I was about 7 or 8. I'll tell you one thing: it's a very, very good way of telling a kid.
Teach
you have to bring the dog
out
for a walk.
Them responsibility.
You have to you have to clean up. You have to feed the dog. You have to make sure that its bedding is clean and all that kind of thing. And but you see, I do feel like as much as I love dogs, I do find it remarkable that some owners, as Brenda said, they assume everybody else assumes that their dog is as charming as they think it is. That's not the case. You have to take other people into
consideration. And the French people, particularly, if you go to France, God almighty,
they bring them to restaurants, for God's sake.
I was a couple of years ago. I was in a restaurant with a baby, and the baby was in the high chair, and she was crying a little bit. And these two couples at two opposite ends of the restaurant were glowering at me every time she made a sound, glowering at me, like, for God's sake, keep her quiet. Then when the meal ended, one of them reached in under the table and picked a dog out of a bag, and the other one caught his eye across the room, reached in under his table and picked up a bloody dog out of
the
bag. So
the dogs
they had
barking,
dogs.
Though,
they were in the restaurant.
But you didn't know they were there,
the
but everybody knew your child was there.
There's a city in China called Guangzhou, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, that has implemented a one dog policy. So remember they had the one child policy? You could only have one child. Now you have a one dog policy. So if you have more than one, you have to give the rest up for adoption. Should we limit it to one dog per family?
I think Chinese dog adoption, it'll end up on the dinner plate. Let's be honest. We say it's going to the farm in China. Actually, they mean it quite literally. You know?
The same city has banned 40 dog breeds. The Tibetan Mastiff, the Atikas, the German Shepherds. Now, I don't mind German Shepherds. They're nice enough. But the Mastiffs, these big dogs. I mean, they scare me as an adult because I'm thinking, if he attacks me, what am I going to do?
You see, again, this is the point that people say, oh, you know, I mean, Rottweilers. I mean, there's a guy who lives in my area and he's got two Rottweilers. They're huge. Mm. They are also beautiful and very, very gentle. But you wouldn't know it to look at them, right? I mean, Rottweilers, I mean, all they're short of is a tattoo and an earring, you know. I mean, when you see them.
But people with tattoos and earrings, good morning, Ian O'Doherty says hello.
But
fairness,
the thing is, that, you see, and the owner's really nice and the dogs are really nice, but people don't understand that. And you see, you have to take into account that just because you love dogs doesn't mean that everybody else does. Mm. And when you're bringing a dog out, again, it goes back into the child analogy. Mm. I mean, you know, it's a bit like you're producing your child to the world. Mm. And you don't want your kid to be horrible. You don't want people to be afraid of your dog. And you have to show respect for people who are very wary of animals. Mm. And this is the thing that really, it does kind of bug me when you get, as much as an obsessive dog owner I am about Sam, and Sam is part of my family and I love Sam. I mean, honestly, when Molly died, that was more upsetting to me than my parents dying, because I hadn't lived at home for about 15 or 20 years, whereas Molly had shared my bed.
But Molly
for
was 10 not
or
as
11
old
years.
As you would have been with your parents. I mean,
but no, because she was a part of my life for over a decade.
Yeah,
she was
a very
she
close
was
part
an integral part of my life.
Listener says here, where's it gone? My daughter lives in Barcelona. She has a dog in a city where there are areas reserved for dogs. There's even a reserved beach for dogs. That's from Brian in Lucan. And I read that Wicklow County Council have banned dogs from the blue flag bit of the beach during the summer months.
That's fair enough, I think. Absolutely.
Do you think that's
fair
enough?
Ian,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
It depends on the beach. I mean, if it's a busy sort of family beach, I mean, it's unfortunate we shouldn't have to bring in these laws.
Greystones Beach.
I think at certain times in the morning and certain times of the evening, I mean, dogs are entitled to go out and run and play. And, you know, it's unfortunate. The dogs are entitled to this. The owners have an obligation to do it. Again, it goes back to what I'd say, that the bad dog owners are the kind of people who park in a disabled spot as well. They're the kind of people who just don't really care. Now, this is where I'll come in. I do actually think we should have a stricter enforcement of the dog licence. I mean, I think the great myth of Irish society is that we have these things called dog wardens. I just don't believe they exist.
They exist in cartoons, and we know the dog catcher. Mm. He existed in many Disney cartoons. I don't remember seeing one active in a city in or a town in recent times. Tech says, we were in a French restaurant 20 years ago. A dog was given a seat at the table.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, big fans there.
Molly used to sit at our dinner table.
Really?
And she would actually follow the conversation and things like that. I mean, it's like, that's brilliant.
Texas says, my granny is family. It doesn't mean I'd let her sleep in the bed next to me, listen to her snore.
Well, I mean, obviously that person doesn't like their nana very much. I mean, I would, you know. I mean, look, the thing, again, I have to point out, you know, the dogs are small. You know, it's no harm. And I just, they were rescue dogs. They'd had a really, really bad start in life. And there's something wonderful and reciprocal and uncomplicated about giving a dog that's had a bad start in life, getting them and spoiling them rotten. And you can see their happiness. And there's nothing as beautiful as a content, happy, playful dog.
If you were approached by, if let's say that Leo Varadkar was one of his first things at government, decided the dogs were the number one issue that he wants to address, and he hired 50 dog wardens, and we saw dog wardens standing on street corners, and when you were walking your dog Sam, and for some reason you left him off the leash, or the leash wasn't long enough, or you missed a poop, which by the looks of the plastic bag sitting in front of you is unlikely.
I'd put them back in my pocket because I'll be bringing them out. Sure.
That he came up and he started saying, well, Mr. O'Doherty, good. Give me your details, girl, be fine. You'd be annoyed. You wouldn't like that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be annoyed.
You'd tear the head off him, wouldn't you?
No, well, the thing is, I wouldn't get myself into that situation in the first place there, Jonathan. No, but the thing is, there's no point in having a rule if you're not going to enforce the rule. In an ideal world, we wouldn't need it, because in an ideal world, people would be courteous and considerate of other people. Unfortunately, we don't live in that ideal world. Then dogs get a bad reputation because they're badly managed. They're not handled properly. And the thing is, too many people have a dog and they don't understand how to raise a dog. And I mean, I know people who've got dogs and they live in an apartment and they go to work all day. And then they come home and they wonder why the dog is aggressive and snippy.
Mm.
Well, of course it is. I mean, if you leave anything locked up in a box effectively all day. Mm. So it's more basically, if we could actually remove the state by instilling in ourselves a greater sense of responsibility when it comes to dogs. I mean, and again, I'm not talking about, as Brenda said, I mean, you grew up on a farm. I mean, dogs are work animals on a farm. But it like in suburbs and stuff like that, they should be the pet.
That's not going to happen. So I think penalise anyone who doesn't have a poo bag.
Here's a listener that turns what we've been talking about on our heads, right? We have a Bernese Mountain Dog. Now, I have never seen a Bernese Mountain Dog. I'm presuming you could use it as a small horse. Mm. And a Newfoundland, which again is a very big breed.
They must have a big house.
Yeah, we take them for walks. One would have to. It drives me nuts how parents let their small kids come running over and grab and poke and pull at them. If my dogs did that to the kids, there'd be war. So
that's
is it
a good point.
Is it
yeah,
a two-way
that's a good
street?
Point. Yeah. I don't think too many parents would do that, unless maybe they had dogs at home themselves and felt, oh, that's just like our dog, or the kids think, oh, we know that dog or whatever. But I would keep my kids as far away as possible
from a dog of that size. I would not let them.
Bernese is the most gentle. They're basically giant same parents.
Smaller dogs are bigger.
But I mean, I was bitten twice when I was a kid by two different dogs, and on both occasions the parents gave out to me because I was annoying the dog. They were good lessons as well. I mean, I learned, do not put your face down to a dog when it's eating, because it won't end well.
Yeah, Ruth is listening in. Good morning, Ruth. I'm fuming, she says. We dog owners banned from the beach during the summer months. We, the ones, they're all year round, no matter what the weather. It annoys me. Funny how my dog snoring at night I find cute, whereas I feel like smothering my husband when he's full of beer and doing the same thing.
Do you know, are you sure that wasn't my wife? I texted him under an assumed name. because I was going, this sounds harshly familiar.
Why is it? Look, as somebody who's not a dog person, like if there was something snoring in my room that wasn't my wife, it would be shown the door extremely. If one of the kids was snoring and snuck in.
I suppose it's a bit like, you know, I mean, they say that, you know, a child crying is very, very annoying to everybody other than the parents.
Oh, no, it's extremely annoying to the parents as well.
Occasionally I'd mind a friend's dog and stuff like that, and I love when I see, you know, my dogs and that dog and they're all splayed out and they're after having a nice meal, they've had a nice walk, and they'd all be sleeping and snoring, and I just think it's great.
Barbara is listening in. She says, I was at a cinema in San Diego. A man took a seat beside me with his dog tucked up with him. It wasn't his problem. Didn't know if the dog enjoyed the movie. Depends on the movie. It could have been a good one. I was in Spain last week, as I mentioned in the programme yesterday. There was a guy walking through Primark, which is the pennies over there, and he had a dog in a bag. So the dog was so lazy he wouldn't walk, so he was wheeling the dog, and the dog was quite happy inside there. And I was looking at all the parents whose children wouldn't go into the buggies and saying, the dog sometimes has an advantage.
See, this is the thing as well, people who use dogs as sort of fashion accessories. I mean, and there was a brief, I think the trend has probably dissipated now, but I mean, I remember going, being in a well-known store on Grafton Street, and there were two girls and they had little chihuahuas in their bags because I think Paris Hilton or something.
How could I have forgotten Paris Hilton? There was a fantastic line.
Can I tell you, this is one of my favourite quips by an Irish comedian. Sadly, I cannot think of his name. He said, there's a trend now, he's from Cavan or somewhere, there's a trend now for carrying little dogs around in a bag. He said, when I was growing up, if you saw someone with a dog in a bag, he'd be going to the river.
And on that note, we will park it. Brenda Power, columnist with The Mail and The Sunday Times, Ian O'Doherty with The Irish Independent and The Daily Star. Will you not just maybe take the dog out of the bed, just for me, will you? I'm worried now about you sleeping
with
the dog.
I'm going to just send you so many pictures of Sam lying on the bed.
And again, just to follow up on what the texter was saying, does Sam ever reverse himself so that the head is down and the arse is on the pillow? Because
Look, I've had a backache for the last 10 years, I'd say, because basically I sleep usually with one leg out of the bed because I've been kicked out.
What size of a dog is he, Ian, did you say?
Hmm?
What size of a dog?
He's small. He's a Cairns Scotty Cross kind of thing, like, you know.
But
even if he was bigger, it wouldn't bother me. Look, the thing is, as I said, I love dogs. I was brought up to love dogs. Yeah. He's the most important person in my life.
I'd like to point out that Ian didn't answer the question as to whether his arse is on the pillow or sometimes.
I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
Ian Brennan, thank you very much indeed.